Tonight's video is about the individual of Jim Carter and his disappearance in Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington in 1950, where he encountered something so horrifying that he left all his companions on that mountain where they were all skiing together, and he vanished without a trace. And this is still an unsolved mystery to this very day. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Snow-capped peaks, white slopes, evergreen pine forests, every skier's dream. No wonder people are drawn to such places when they want to escape the noise of the world. But isolation sometimes has its dangers. You never know what's lurking around you. In May 1950, 32-year-old Jim Carter and a group of 20 Seattle climbers set out for Mount St. Helens in Washington. The sun was high in the sky, casting a bright light on the snow-covered mountain. The group made their way up the mountain, stopping occasionally to rest and take in the view. On the way back down the mountain, however, he became separated from the other climbers near a rock formation called Dog's Head, at the elevation of about 2,000 meters. Carter told his companions that he wanted to ski down the left side of the mountain and take photos of them as they skied down the boundary of the forest. "Hey, I have an idea. I'll ski on the left side of the mountain while taking photos of you all, as you ski down the boundary of the forest," he told his companions. "Yeah, sure, why not?" the other climbers agreed, and Carter started down the mountain. Carter quickly gained speed, skiing down the mountain with dangerous maneuvers. He leapt over crevices and hurtled down the slope, skiing faster than anyone in the group had ever seen. The members of the group could see him leap over two or three big crevices and hurtle down the slope as quick as lightning, as if he had been frightened of something. Meanwhile, the other climbers reached the boundary of the forest, but Carter was nowhere to be seen. They waited for him for hours, but he never arrived. They assumed that he had fallen and died somewhere on the mountain. His skis left long, deep gouges in the snow, and his poles flailed wildly as he fought to keep his balance. There was a long silence as they waited for him to reappear, but he never did. They could see his skis and poles lying at the bottom of the cliff, but there was no sign of Carter himself. It was as if he had simply vanished into thin air. Despite weeks of intense search by rescue teams, no sign of Carter was found. All they discovered was a discarded roll of film at the spot where he had taken a photograph. When Carter's trail reached the steep side of Ape Canyon, searchers were shocked to see that Carter was in such a hurry that he had gone straight down the steep canyon wall. But his corpse was not found at the bottom of the canyon as they had expected. The tracks were then followed by airplane to the Eagle Creek Forestry Station before disappearing into the wilderness. Carter's complete disappearance remains an unsolved mystery to this day, claimed Bob Lee, who worked for the Seattle Mountain Search and Rescue Unit and participated in the search for Carter. Lee was a highly experienced mountaineer from Portland, and his credentials included being a member of the exclusive World Alpine Club and he was also the leader of the 1961 Himalayan Expedition and an advisor to the 1963 U.S. Expedition. Although Lee did not have any handguns on him except for his ice axe, he did not let go of that. During the search, Lee got separated from the other explorers. As he was walking on the snowy hillside alone, he got a strange feeling, as if someone had been watching him. He did not know where the feeling had came from, but he was sure that something strange was happening on the high slopes of the mountain. He realized that that search was the eeriest experience he had ever had. He could feel the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. We combed the canyon for 5 days, from one end to the other. Sometimes we had 75 people on the search team, but we found no sign of Carter or his equipment, Lee noted later. After 2 weeks, the search was stopped, and Jim's remains or equipment were never found. But what could he have seen? What could have scared him so much? Ape Canyon is a canyon on the edge of the Abraham Plain, southeast of Mount St. Helens in Washington State. The canyon narrows to a 2.5 meters at one point. Ape Canyon was heavily struck by the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens, and the current Ape Canyon Trail is near the steep Rocky Canyon. Another site of the south side of the mountain is Ape Cave. In the canyon, a group of miners reported encountering several so-called ape men, also known locally as Bigfoot or Sasquatch, in 1924. The event later became part of Bigfoot folklore. These claims were reported in the Organian on July 16, 1924. Let us see what happened that day. Fred Beck, Gabe Leffier, John Peterson, Marion Smith, and Smith's son Roy reported that they had stumbled across monkey people near the bottom where the gold miners had previously built a small hut for their hikes. They were about 10 kilometers from Spirit Lake when they encountered four giant animals walking through the forest with upright, human-like steps. They were covered in long, black fur. Their ears must have been about 5 centimeters long and sticking straight up. They had four toes, which appeared short and stubby. Each animal must have weighed about 300 kilograms, they said. Scared to death of the huge creatures, Fred Beck, or one of his companions, fired his rifle at one of the creatures, hitting it 3 times. The wounded animal then fell off the cliff, but the story does not end here. One night, the men woke up to the sound of huge rocks hitting the outside of the hut, and then tearing a hole into the roof, throwing rocks at the group. Two of the stones hit Beck, knocking him unconscious for nearly 2 hours. Finally, after a terrifying and frightening night in the cabin, the sun came up and the attackers disappeared. The men ran for their lives out of the woods. Later, Beck led rangers, J.H. Huffman and William Belch, to the rock where he believed the wounded ape had been shot. However, they found nothing there. Then they proceeded to the hut, showing the rocks used as weapons. Huffman and Welch, however, were not convinced and concluded that they were the miners who had probably planted the large stones as they made up the story. The footprints could have been made by the miners themselves, they told the Organian reporter. William Halliday, director of the Western Speleological Survey, claimed in his 1983 brochure that the miners' attackers might have actually been local youths. It could have simply been a case of young campers throwing pumice stones into the canyon that night, unaware that miners were down there. When the miners looked up, all they could see were vague outlines in the moonlight. These stories might give some clues as to what may have happened to Jim Carter, assuming we accept the less mundane explanation. Well, I don't know what to say, guys. What do you think happened to Jim Carter? Was he simply terrified by something he thought he may have seen and then simply just vanished into thin air? Or did he happen to come across a real-life Bigfoot? The Bigfoot chased him down. It invaded his bubble or his territory, per se. And Jim Carter never escaped that mountain. There was no reported avalanche, and there was no blood trail, and they never found any of his equipment. There's only so many things that could have happened to him on that mountain without any eyewitnesses or any evidence found at the location where he was last seen. What do you guys think? Let me know down in the comments below. Personally, I think it was Bigfoot. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter. Yeah. Have a good night, and stay spooky.